Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like what you hear, we have tons of additional content at patreon.com/themedialunchbreak.
How are you?
I've never been better.
Really? I find that hard to believe.
What? Why?
And yet, at the same time, actually, it's
the fuck is that supposed totally to believable. Mean?
Well, I guess really I can believe it because the bar is usually very low with you. So,
Chris.
Yes?
I got 6 hours of sleep last night.
That is astounding for you.
It is.
That is a week of sleep for you.
Oh, I got up and I ran away from the police.
I was like, ran, period.
Never came back. No, I ran 6 miles per hour for 3.1 miles without adjusting or stopping or slowing down or anything.
That's amazing.
I'm doing a 5K soon.
Oh.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is where you gain 5 kilograms.
Yes. A day.
A day?
Yeah.
It's like 10 pounds.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm doing a race called the Donut Race, where they give you a donut after.
Right up your alley.
I know. Isn't it, though? Isn't it
they
just?
They give you a donut at the end?
They do.
All right.
A donut and a shirt.
And you're like, please. Keep the shirt.
Kind of. I wanted to do that. I don't need another crew neck shirt. I don't like crew necks.
No, you don't. You should just cut it into a V-neck.
But then it's like I have to either hem it or it's going to come apart.
Nah, just
not hem.
Just
I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Is. But no, just cut it. Just cut it into a V.
No.
Just keep it real. Yeah.
Because here's the other thing, sexy. Though. Here's what actually ended up happening. It was like free donut and a free shirt.
Okay.
But then when I got there, it was like shirt $21.99. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And
but so, donut's still free?
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
Because they want me to gain weight so that I'm going to be like, oh, man, I should get back in shape and do a 5K next year. Mm-hmm. But
wait, I can't wait for the cheesecake 5K next year.
Oh, me neither. But I clicked the drop down menu. And it was like size small, $21.99. Size medium, $21.99. Large, $21.99. Right? On and on. 2XL free.
Yeah.
So I got the 2XL.
Of course you did. And you're like, I'm going to run a 5K and then I'm going to eat a donut and then I'm going to eat a dozen more and then I can fit my shirt.
And then, you know, if I feel up to it, I'll do a dozen more 5Ks.
There you go. And get more shirts and get more donuts.
Get more donuts. I'm going to see if I can sell the shirt for donuts.
A barter system?
I'm going to go into a Dunkin'. I'm going to go into a Dunkies.
Is that what you call it over on your side of the pond there?
That's actually a Bostonian thing that I heard from a friend. Yeah, my Dunkies.
Dunkies. I tried to do it in a Boston accent. I can't even do it.
It's already a Boston accent.
Yeah, there's nothing to latch onto there.
I got my Dunkies.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to lead into it. You got to find something that you can use. You got to like, can I have a go into the Dunkies?
It's really honestly what I did was a Chicago accent because I don't have a Boston accent.
Yeah, it's a tough. That's Dunkies. It's a tough one to make. Affleck could do it. He could do it if he, you know.
Yeah.
But he's from there. That's all.
At this point, I'm pretty sure he owns stock.
In the Boston accent or in Dunkies?
Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. But yeah, in Dunkies. In both, in either.
Yeah. So that'll be good. That'll be, when's the 5K? Great.
I'm just going to show up when it ends for the donut.
Yeah, okay. You're just going to, I mean, either way, you'll be sweating so much they're going to think you ran a 5K.
In anticipation.
Yeah.
Give me the donut. I'm going to be breathing hard because I got out of bed.
Can I have a Boston cream?
A Boston cream.
Give me a Boston cream from Dunkies. Where do you think the donuts are coming from? Have they said where the donuts are coming from?
They haven't.
Ooh, that could be a big... is that like a non-starter for you? Like, depending on where the donut is from.
What, I'm like saying. I wouldn't do it?
Yeah, oh, that's true. I don't know what I was saying.
For a donut? Right.
Now that I say it, now that you say it out loud, I'm like, I hear it now. You're right. You would do it no matter what.
It's not even a free donut. You have to pay to enter the race.
How much do you have to pay to enter the race?
I don't know. I saw a free donut and blacked out. And when I woke up, I had an email thanking me for registering.
Oh my gosh. You probably buy a fucking donut for that amount.
You could. It was not. I mean, it was definitely the price of like a t-shirt and a donut.
Well, not the 2XLs.
Yeah, no, I got a tent.
Yeah, that's true. You can't buy it. Well, I mean,
it's going to be an embarrassing shirt, too. I'm never going to wear it. It probably says like I ran a race for a donut or some shit.
You would 100% wear a shirt that said I ran a race for a donut.
No, I'm going to tell people as soon as I meet them. I don't need a shirt.
It's going to be on the sandwich board I'm wearing all of the time now.
It's going to be on the sandwich I'm eating.
One side says I ran a race and then the other side says for a donut. That's what I'm imagining.
I ate a donut and they made me run a race.
That's what they should really do. Make you eat the donut first.
Oh
yeah.
Jesus.
That's for the entertainment value.
Honestly, I would come in first.
Yeah, you'd be fine because you're like, I can do this all day. Are you kidding me? This is how I live my whole life.
I do this all day.
Yeah.
All I do is run and eat fucking junk food.
I eat junk food and then I run constantly.
Yeah, they'd hand me a donut and I'd be like, I eat stuff like this for breakfast.
Welcome to the Media Lunch Break, bringing you all of your comic, geek, and movie news on the time it takes to eat a good sandwich and then run it off in a 5K. My name is Chris Treble. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Andrew Dunn. What? Say hello, Andrew. What?
What's your problem? I never know when you're going to start.
I never know when I'm going to start. I don't know.
It's because you're always starting.
I'm always starting something. I'm starting shit. I'm finishing shit. So not always in that order.
Taking a shit.
Sometimes at the same time.
Yeah. Sometimes you eat a donut, run a 5K.
And sometimes you eat a donut and you run a 5K.
Yeah.
Andrew.
What?
What are we talking about today?
Well, the first thing we're talking about is tabletop beard.
Ooh. Tell me more.
I was gonna, regardless of what you said, because tabletop beard mixes beard care and nerdiness in the best ways. They have everything your little nerd beard needs to stay healthy and smell great. They've got oils, butters, balms, donuts. They don't have donuts. Over a dozen different scents, like Ranger, which smells like
much
forest.
Much like donuts come in a dozen.
They do, actually. But this is more than a dozen. This is like a baker's dozen.
Oh.
Is that so a 13? Baker? Is it called a baker's dozen because bakers are fat?
Yes. That's why they do it, Andrew. It's called a baker's dozen because the baker, I think, would make an extra one to try to make sure the batch was okay. I think that's what it is, because baker's dozen is 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But isn't it because it's like one extra because I want it?
Well, I mean, they said it was to test the product, but let's be honest. We know what they're doing.
They're full of shit.
Yeah, they are. Full of donut.
Anyway, there's over a dozen scents like Ranger, which smells like forest, fresh rain, and leather, and Paladin, which smells like barbershop and amber.
Ooh.
Head to tabletopbeard.com for free shipping on orders of $50 or more, free returns within 30 days, and get 10% off your first order when you sign up for their newsletter.
I'm very excited about the tabletop beard.
I am too. Have you? I almost just asked you if you tried them yet.
I have not, because you're holding on to them.
I am.
Like a selfish little bastard.
Yeah, I already went through all of them. I have nothing left for you.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I've been growing this beard back out for nothing.
Yeah, I dumped them all in a big tub and I just laid in there. I didn't even use them on my beard.
Wow. You're like, I specifically kept the beard out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then when I tried to get out, I slipped because it was all oily.
Yeah. Ooh, oily, Andrew. Is there any other kind?
There are so many other kinds, unfortunately.
Excellent. Even better.
Chris.
Yes.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire has everything. Ghosts, a popcorn bucket that is nearly impossible to fuck.
Just stop there. That's, I like when we find ourselves so funny that it stops the show. No one else finds that joke that funny but us, but it doesn't matter.
Gives
a shit.
Actually, that's all it has. And honestly, the fact that they wouldn't let me return the popcorn bucket after I was done with it.
You got one? You son of a bitch. I've been trying to find one of those.
Well, the fact that they wouldn't let me return it after I was done with it made me a little salty. No pun intended. But anyway, what this movie does have is an empire that lasts 17 minutes. Chris, you're our resident Ghostbusters fan. What did you think of Ghostbusters Fallen Empire? And did the unfuckable popcorn bucket ruin it for you too?
Okay, let's get into this. You're right. I am the resident ghost of the two people involved in this podcast. I would be the resident Ghostbusters expert on this one. I want to love this movie so much. It is, to me, fine at best. I was not bowled over by this movie. I definitely have some thoughts for sure. I'm curious about how, I was actually really curious about how you felt about it, being not the giant Ghostbusters fan than I am. as just as a layman, as a normie when it comes to this sort of thing.
That is the nicest thing you have ever called me.
Thank you. Well, what did you feel about this?
My first note is, should I retire from reviewing movies because I didn't like Dune 2 and I thought this was great?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has issues, like, no doubt about it. Yeah, I feel the same way about this that I felt when we watched Spider-Man No Way Home. Was that I don't remember if that was the one. There was one that we watched that we were like, does it have problems? Yes. It's got like crazy plot holes, but like, it's a wild ride. It's a lot of fun. It's charming. It never feels like it drags. I think it's fun.
I actually disagree. I think, and maybe I need a second viewing of it. Maybe I had to pee halfway through it, and so that was distracting me, which is very possible. Should have
got the popcorn bucket.
Believe me, if I could, I would. Actually, the Dune one would have been much better for that.
It would have, yeah.
But here's my thing. Here was, like I said, and I agree with you, there are definitely plot holes. And I think, and I'm trying not to be this fan that goes, well, what I wanted to happen was this, and it didn't happen, and so it's not as good as I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
That being said, there's so much potential. There is a lot of potential here for an outstanding movie. And I think they didn't quite act on it and squandered it a little bit. I'm trying to debate on how much I can go into without spoiling it. I mean, the cast is still great.
Yeah.
Original and new cast.
Yeah.
I love the voice of this cast, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
I
love the
just their literal voices or like.
Yeah, they're literal voices. No, I like the humor that they have in this.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All the things I loved about Afterlife are in this movie.
Paul Rudd fits in seamlessly into this franchise.
He fits in seamlessly to this. I almost called her Phoebe. McKenna Grace is fantastic as Phoebe. Even Carrie Coon and Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, I think they all do a great job.
And that's what I mean. I think this new cast is really, really good. And I love watching them together on screen. I think they have great chemistry together. I think they have even better chemistry in this movie than they did in Afterlife. I think it's grown. But I think there were things in it. I think it, let me put it this way, and I don't think this is a spoiler. For a movie called Ghostbusters, there's not a lot of busting ghosts.
Oh, I disagree with that.
There's one in particular at the very beginning, which is great. And then there's a lot of...
There's like a million ghosts in this.
There's ghosts in it, but there's not as much, so much... busting of said ghosts.
Sure.
It's almost like a bit of a mystery type of thing.
The last one also didn't have a lot of busting ghosts.
No, but there is a different I will give it to that because that is trying to do a different thing than this is. This is trying to be a Ghostbusters movie. It's weird that I'm just realizing as we're talking about this, it's weird that we're on opposite sides of this and you're on your side and I'm on my side. We should be flipped on this for sure.
I mean, no, that's not true. Like, you are very, very close to this franchise. It makes more sense that you're going to have negative opinions.
Well, I mean, but I'm not. I'm pretty sure I'm in the minority when it comes to the true Ghostbusters fans and how I feel about this.
I don't know if that's true.
I know on like several of the Reddits and things like that, people seem to love it. I've talked to other...
Most of what I've seen is people think this is not a good movie.
No, that's what I have seen too. I'm saying in the reviews and everything.
Specifically.
It's been getting...
The Ghostbusters fans, you mean.
Okay. Yeah, specifically...
No, I'm asking you. Specifically,
the Ghostbusters fans have really been loving this.
Maybe that's why I like it though, because like it feels like... a Ghostbusters movie to me.
It does feel like a Ghostbusters movie to me too. It just, I don't want to get into too much more without getting into spoilers. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Did you have anything other than stuff and spoilers that you could talk about?
Man, yeah. I mean, I think we should go over sort of I think the music is great. I think the CGI is really good. It's great. Well shot. It's interesting. The director,
Gil Keenan. I think it's Keenan.
Well, he had said that, this was heavily inspired by the cartoon show, the animated series.
The real Ghostbusters. And I feel that.
I think that definitely comes through. I think, like you said, the cast works really well together. It has some story issues, for sure. Like, there's definitely some moments where I go like, wait, what was that? Why did this happen? What's going on here? Why is this happening? But for the most part, I think it works. I think the... objectives and goals of the characters, particularly the ones who maybe make some mistakes in order to get the plot to move forward. They make sense to me based on the events that we see occur to them. They're like looking for something specific and, you know, end up that ends up being their weakness. I would give it a recommend. I think it's worth a watch.
I still definitely give it a recommend. Yeah. It's not that and that's the thing, is that I don't think
this goes back to sort of what we were talking about with Dune 2, where we were like, this could have been It's Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. I think that's what I'm feeling, is that I you know, I talked to Sarah right after I got out of the movie theater and she was like, how was it? And I was like, this is going to feel like, if they are able to make a third one of these, this will feel like a good middle movie.
Mm.
But right now, mm-hmm. like if this was to be the end of this, it doesn't end like wham to me.
Well, and that's sort of why it does feel like, and I think generally with another franchise, I would consider saying something like this an insult to it. Mm-hmm. But I actually think it works really well with it. It feels like a long episode of the cartoon show.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it for sure does.
So it doesn't feel like a big explosive climactic wrap up or whatever. It feels like, OK, we're going to do like 20 of these. This is a great one.
Yeah.
That's how it feels to me.
I can get behind that. Yeah, this is definitely still a recommend. They do a lot of this. They do a lot of things in this that is different for the franchise, which takes it in new and interesting directions, which is great, because I don't want to see just rinse and repeat constant the same thing over and over and over again.
Which is funny, because a lot of the critique I've heard of this movie is that it's like identical to all of the other Ghostbusters movies.
I think there are aspects of it that you can pull from, and there's one in particular that is almost like kind of like verbatim a shot from the original Ghostbusters, which I think they are doing on purpose. In fact, they talk about how it connects to the original Ghostbusters, which is fine. I think there are other things about this that they've started to do, which takes it into new and interesting directions, which is great, because I think that's, and this is what I loved about Afterlife too, is that it felt like a different movie than just Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2, because it's going to be a different movie. There are different characters. It's a different creative team. And it should be, because that was so magical that you can't recapture that.
Yeah. Best you can do is hope for another bolt of lightning from somewhere else.
Exactly. From somewhere else. This is why the 2016, the all-female reboot didn't work. They try to just replicate, and you can't just replicate. So do something different. So there's aspects about this that I really liked. And I think the new aspects, what gets me down is that the new aspects could have gone even more. And I can see the potential where if you had extrapolated this to kind of like the 10th degree, as opposed to maybe what I thought was like the 5th degree, that this could have been like something, wow, really incredible. And like on the edge of my seat the entire movie. Do you want to get into spoilers?
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay, so first of all, let's get this out of the way right now, because it's really the most pressing issue. Andrew, once again...
I already talked about the unfuckable popcorn bucket. What could possibly be the pressing issue that you're discussing?
It's something that very rarely happens. But Andrew.
Yeah.
I was right. Walter Peck is the mayor of New York City in this movie.
Oh, yeah, he sure is.
I called it.
I'm surprised that alone didn't make this movie amazing for you.
I called it. He said, Mr. And I was like, say mayor. And then he said, Mr. Mayor. And in the theater, I was almost like, yes. I was right I was right. I've been saying this for months. I was right. Do you hear me, Hollywood? I know your game. I'm on to you, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Walter Peck is. Mother Peckers. I'm on to you,
Dickless. Did you hear at the end someone called him Dickless? Dickless.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I did enjoy that. I think, okay, but here's the thing. And this is where I'll kind of point out my biggest kind of overall faults with this movie. And maybe this just, I might just need a rewatch. I may have gone in slightly tainted, knowing that a lot of the reviews did not like this movie. But for instance, I think this was a great idea. Make Walter Peck the mayor.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. He's a great foil.
He's a great villain. And then you escalate that villain from the first one to the ultimate seat of power, right? They bust this ghost at the beginning of the movie. They get yanked into the mayor's office. And all he does is suspend Phoebe, right? That's it. That's the end result of what that is. He doesn't. He's not the one who really does it. But that's basically what the end result is. And that's
That's the immediate thing he does because he's like, you can't have a kid doing this. You know. I think there is also some pressure to keep the Ghostbusters around. One, because they are getting rid of ghosts, and also because they are a New York City staple.
True. However, then later on, Phoebe does something else. Okay. And he's like, I've been waiting 40 years for this. I'm disbanding the Ghostbusters. I padlocked the firehouse. It's condemned. I've taken all your stuff. I'm going to melt down your car. I'm going to piss in your coffee. I'm going to whatever. Okay. He goes one. And here's the thing. And then the very next scene, they go to the firehouse. And I'm like, literally the next scene.
Yeah.
They go back to the firehouse. Phoebe opens the lock, like picks the lock to the firehouse. They just go right back in.
Yeah.
They go inside. All their stuff is taken. What happens when they need new stuff? Winston just brings new stuff over to them.
Yeah. I mean, they established that.
Right. But the problem
they
is...
they gotta sell them toys, dude.
The problem is that that's not really a hurdle or an obstacle here. So like you had... And as much as you don't want to repeat... and make it formulaic. What makes Ghostbusters really great is the fact that these guys are like, they're like exterminators. They're schlubby guys who came up with a crazy ass idea to make a quick buck. No one believed in them, even though their whole job is to believe in other people, right? No one believed in them. And they somehow got into a situation that ballooned to the point that they saved the world, right? And they did it while this guy Peck was on their back trying to eliminate them. Now he's in the ultimate seat of power. He can eliminate them. At no point does this seem like a real challenge for them. So at no point is there, you know, and in both Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2, there's a point where they are basically no longer Ghostbusters. They're thrown in jail. They're thrown in an insane asylum, right? They have to somehow get out of that. Or someone has to convince the people in power to bring them back into being Ghostbusters to help save the day. That never happens. And while, again, you don't want to make it formulaic, at no point did I feel the challenge of like, oh God, how are they going to ever get out of a situation so that they can go save the day and save the world?
Yeah, there's never a moment where it feels like, well, they did it and it's over.
Yeah, or there's never a moment where they're like, this is it. There's no coming back from this.
That's sort of what I mean, right? It's like in a movie like this, there would be a scene where like the family gets a new apartment and they're like, well, it's over. We did it. And, you know, they're having breakfast one morning and then something ignites something in Phoebe. She sees something on the TV and she's like, wait, I've got an idea of how we can get back on this or whatever. Right. Like there
exactly
needs to be something where the hero is. It's the arc of the well-made play, right? It's the arc of the hero's journey.
Exactly.
Where they have to be at their lowest point and we have to see them sort of claw their way back up.
And so I never felt that they were like ever at their lowest point. And that's what I mean. It feels the whole movie kind of felt like they lived in a very safe kind of middle ground. And it never kind of really got very dynamic. You know, there's stuff about this I love. I love Melody, the ghost.
The characters in this are great. Like, there isn't a weak link in an actor,
not at all. Not at all. But it's a lot of like, hey, we have this orb. What does this orb do? Let's study the orb. Let's go over here and research the orb. Then we're going to talk about how we research the orb. And then what does the orb do again? Well, let's do some more research on the orb. Now let's run it through a scientific test for the orb. And then the last, like, it's like the last 20 minutes of the movie, of a 2-hour movie, is like the big bad gets out and kind of wreaks havoc for like 30 seconds on all of New York City.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same problem we had with Age of Ultron, right? Where like the Age of Ultron lasts about an hour.
Right, and that's
it's like, is it an age? Is this an empire? Yeah, Is this a frozen empire?
Yeah, because they come out, they save the day, and then everyone's like, yay, you did it. And I'm like, that didn't even last long enough for anyone to really know what the hell was happening.
Right, how did they have time to get there?
Right, they didn't even know what was going on. You know, it wasn't...
Is it just all the people who live in the apartments nearby? They saw it out their window and came down? How did Peck get there so quick?
Right. And that's my thing. It's like, it just kind of like lives in this middle ground.
It does look like a lot of scenes were cut because there was stuff of like people freezing up and
it feels like that. And I would be more interested to see, I was just going to say, I would be more interested to see some sort of I don't want to call it a director's cut because it doesn't feel like this is like something that got taken out of Gil Keenan's hands and forced to do something. But like to see a longer cut of this.
Yeah.
And see what it was with some of the deleted scenes put back into it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really interested to I'd be interested to see what else was left on the cutting room floor. Because like I said, there's a lot of like, well, why is this happening? And why is this happening?
Yeah.
And why is this happening? Oh, and now it's because of this. Okay, and we're done.
Well, and there definitely are a lot of like, why is this happening? Oh, it's because of this. What are we going to do? Oh, she's just going to pick the lock. Where are we going to get the new proton pack? So we got some new ones.
Yeah, exactly. Where's,
oh, no, the store, the thing that holds all the ghosts in our building is breaking. Oh, we got a bigger one. Like, right. There's definitely a lot of, there's never a like long-term obstacle
right.
that all the characters are working towards fixing
right.
because they don't even know that this thing is coming for most of the movie.
And I love the idea of here's another thing that I'll rag on, which is probably not that big of a deal, but I love the idea, the inclusion of this, I forget what they called it now, the ghost, not the Ghost Corps. That's the name of the production company. Whatever Winston's company is, the, you know.
Oh, I have no idea.
The paranormal something, something, something.
Sure.
His company, whatever they're doing yeah. with all the scientists and everything.
Yeah.
Nerd tech, we'll call it. But I think it's a cool thing to have in one movie, but it's not a thing that I think is sustainable through multiple movies because it will get very annoying and very easy to fix all the problems just like it did in this movie.
Yes.
And like I said, the thing that makes Ghostbusters so much fun is that it's these three guys who got together. They're washed up scientists and they somehow came up with a dumb get rich quick scheme. And that's who they are at their core.
Yeah, I have to admit, I think one of the biggest flaws in this movie, and I hate to say it, but I think it's Phoebe because she knows too much. Like what makes the first Ghostbusters so fun and funny right. is that these guys are basically genius idiots. They have no idea what they're doing.
Exactly. And but what I was going to say with the problem with the Winston thing is that it's theoretically able to fix every problem so easily. And so I think for this one, it would have been interesting to see they have this thing and it seems like a great idea. And by the end, they realize at our core, this is not what ghostbusting is. At our ghost core, it is not what ghostbusting is.
Yeah.
And this doesn't work. And we need to go back to basics and just be the Ghostbusters that we were before, because that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
That making it too big and too complicated actually makes more problems than it solves. And so he does away with the thing. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, but that never really happens. They just have this great catch-all, fix-all thing that they can do now to bring in new gadgets and everything like that.
Yeah, I think halfway into the next movie, I think something has to happen that like destroys that lab. And then they're like, well, now what do we do?
Yeah. And I love the new gadgets. I love it every time. Ghostbusters 2, I love the slime tanks. I love the Geiger meter. It's great. And I know
they got a new drone trap.
And I like the drone trap, but I like the idea like, the drone trap, Afterlife, they had the other one, the RV trap and everything, which was great because it gives this feeling of like, we made this at home. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
somebody tinker, Phoebe being the Egon of this group. See, I don't even mind that she knows so much. It's the fact that she knows so much and so do a lot of other people now too.
But see, that's the issue. The issue isn't that she knows a lot. The issue is that she isn't a genius idiot. She's just a genius. Because Egon was a genius idiot as well,
yeah,
right? Like he's sleeping with ghosts. He has a Twinkie and a toaster yeah. or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I see what you're saying. I could agree with that. But there's a way that like, yeah, Ray and Egon can do the tech and do the cars and everything like that. But you get the feeling like, I mean, the thing is made, the one head thing that Kumail Nanjiani wears from the first movie is made out of a colander. They say it's made out of a colander.
Right.
That's the genius of this, is they take this stuff and they're just like, well, if I tinker with this thing and I take this and I put this element in and now we can catch ghosts somehow.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Star Wars. The handle of a lightsaber came off of an old camera.
Right, exactly. And it looks like, and it's supposed to look kind of like that. Like, you know, in the, when you look at the proton packs, you can see the welding on it because you can tell these guys just took some pipe and soldered it together and just fucking think, and then we're done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now we have the thing to catch ghosts. If it's too clean and it's too refined, it kind of gets away from the essence of it. And this is what I mean. I don't want to see a formulaic Ghostbusters movie, but I think there are certain things that you can't take out of this. And there's certain plot points or essence things that you have to, keep in order for it to feel like a Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, again, I may just need a second viewing of this. Maybe.
Give it a while. Give it like a year and go back to it.
I'm gonna wait till it comes out on digital, and then I'm definitely buying it, and I'm gonna watch it again and again. And I'm sure I will grow to love it. Like, I love every, listen, for me, a bad Ghostbusters movie is still better than a decent any other movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love this franchise so much.
Even the 2016 or whatever.
You know what? The 2016 is not as bad as people like to rag on it. It also has problems, but there are things in it that had potential that I think also just didn't come together. Okay. But like, I will watch Afterlife any day of the week. I can put it on and it's just great. And I will watch, people hate Ghostbusters too. Sometimes that's the Ghostbusters movie I want to watch.
It's really good.
I love it. I think it's great.
I don't care what anybody says. Peter McNichol is great in it. Like, it's a solid, it's fun movie.
The villain is fantastic. Yeah. Yes. That's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And again, I don't want it to be a formulated Ghostbusters movie, but if you are going to have a Ghostbusters movie set in New York, the thing that made the first two great, the problems, the antagonists, if you think about it, are both quintessentially New York problems. The second movie is about the negativity and the anger of the average New Yorker congealed into slime that is going to destroy the world.
It's also a story, though, about like a downtrodden community coming together for the greater good, which is like such a, it's my bread and butter. I love it so much. There,
but that's what I mean. Like, that is a quintessential. So if you're going to put it back in New York, find a way to make your villain something, or what your villain does, something that feels very New York.
Yeah, I mean, even the villain in the first one is like, for the most part, bureaucratic red tape.
It is. It's the EPA. Yeah. That's the main villain of the movie is the EPA. Gozer is just a MacGuffin, essentially. But the main villain of the movie is the EPA. This is what I mean. The mayor's office could have been the main villain of this movie. I don't know why in that first scene, if he hates Ghostbusters so much, why does he just bench Phoebe?
See, that's a plot hole that is easily filled for me, like super easy. Again, if they have like destroyed private property,
right,
and then they're willing to pay those people for the damages of private property in a way that they will settle out of court. Right. There's nothing really that they can do to step in. Now, granted, they are putting people in harm's way, but if the people love the Ghostbusters, just partially because it's, you know, a New York City staple and they love them, but also, and because they like saved the world multiple times, but also because there are actual ghosts running amok. And like, what are you gonna do? Just be like, no, sorry, I benched them. You guys just have to live with this now.
Yeah.
It's kind of out of his hands until they deface public property and something that New Yorkers love even more than Ghostbusters, which is the New York Public Library, the Lions.
Yeah, that's fair. And I hear what you're saying, but from my perspective, I'm also going, this guy is hated Ghostbusters for 40 years.
Yeah, which is why he's looking for enough of an excuse to shut them down.
Yes, but at no point, everything that you said makes sense, but at no point did he try to shut them down, and then somebody went, the public outcry of this would be, Mr. Mayor, would be absolutely astronomical.
Fair. If he had, and again, that's one of the reasons why I suspect there are probably deleted scenes somewhere. Right. There must be, right?
But that's where that's explained. To me, from the information they gave me in this movie, I'm going, oh, you've been waiting for this for 40 years. You had a chance like an hour ago to do exactly what you're doing in this second scene. You could have done it in the first scene.
Yeah.
Why not open the movie and just go, you're done. I've been waiting forever for this. And you just came right to City Hall and blew something up. I'm fucking done with you.
Right. Actually, it's sort of like that thing you always talk about with Seinfeld. Where like, okay, what you've just written us is the first two acts.
Right. Exactly. Why not take that and put it right up front? As like, you get a cool chase scene, and then immediately the mayor, who is the worst guy in the world, goes, I don't care about the public outcry. I know you're full of shit. This is a sham, and I've been waiting forever to do it. The Ghostbusters are finished. Open the movie. and then fight your way back from there.
And then actually, yeah, you have a good opportunity too to do that thing that I was talking about. But you could do it like after the, like, you know, you do the title card and you get the da-da-da-da-da-da, like all the fun. And then it's like the Ghostbusters, and it cuts and they're just like sadly eating breakfast at a table, you know?
Yeah. And it's and it could be the shawarma scene from Avengers where they're all just sitting around just eating. Yeah. And it's great. And it'd be amazing. And then, you know, and you can still have them like do all the things that you wanted to do. And then when most of this movie is like researching, it makes more sense because it's like, well, we can't go out and bust ghosts, but we can quietly do this thing. And we know that this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about it, but we can do whatever we possibly can do. It's our job as Ghostbusters to do this, and we'll figure the rest out later. Right.
Yeah.
And it's, and it can be a story of these four people, family or not, who have decided to take on the mantle of Ghostbusters, and everyone in the city going, because they're not the, to the city, they're not the Ghostbusters. Do you know what I mean? The Ghostbusters are the guys from the 80s. And they even talk about, like, by the way, I do love that they reference Ghostbusters 2 finally and made sure that, like, no, it really exists.
Did you see the guy spread the slime? Ooze on another person?
I
did.
Oh, I saw it. But that's what I mean. It's like, they said, even in that news report, they were like, nothing's really happened since the Statue of Liberty event of 1989.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then, like, these people are no one to the city of New York.
Oh, I disagree.
But that's the thing. We don't know where these people sit. We don't know where the Ghostbusters stands in this world at this point.
I guess. I mean, 9/11 was fucking 25 years ago or some shit. And people are still like, never forget. Remember the police and stuff, you know?
Okay, but here's the thing. Remember the opening of Ghostbusters 2. It's 5 years after those guys saved the world. And they are doing birthday parties because nobody could give a shit. And they all got sued. They got the pantsuit off of them because of the city, right?
All right, that's fair.
And so I'm like, it's been now, you know, what, since 1999, it's been like 30 some odd years since the last big event. These are new Ghostbusters who came out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are these people? These aren't the Ghostbusters. The mayor wants to bench them. I don't even know if they're any good. They just blew up half the city and could have killed somebody. Right,
yeah. Are they even the real Ghostbusters? Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And then put the title in there. There it is.
That's, I know.
But that's what I mean. Like, started off strong. And I, like I said, there's a lot in this movie I do love.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this. It's a Ghostbusters movie I love. My God, I'm just going on and on about this. But there was so much potential for this being like a rip-roaring action movie of, you know, them busting ghosts. There's, you know, really finding their groove, proving themselves to the city. That they are the Ghostbusters that the city can know and love once again. That's where the classic montage should have come in right there that we didn't get, or like whatever this movie Slimer was going to be essentially, which I know Slimer is back, but you know what I'm saying? Like they go on a case and they bust a ghost and then it turns the city around. It turns public opinion around on them. Yeah. This felt like, it did feel like an episode of the real Ghostbusters for better and for worse, I think. Yeah. Is there anything else you want? I just went on a whole bunch of ranting right there.
You sure did.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, let me see. What? I think the mom is the worst mom ever. Like, she says things like, fix the leak yourself to her child.
I kind of love that she's the worst mom ever.
I guess, but a lot of it is like, I have so many examples of this where it's like, they find out there's rats eating their food and she's like, meh, whatever. I'm like, is she on opioids or something?
Yeah,
he says there's something in the attic and she says, so take care of it because you're an adult. She tells Sophie to make some mistakes. Isn't that what got her into this mess? Like, isn't she technically telling her to just go off and be a Ghostbuster anyway? She wakes up her daughter and says, basement now. Do you know why this is happening? Like, what do you, she's like 15. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
The first time she lets her son drive is through an excited crowd.
I love that.
I guess. But it's like weird, man. Like you're trying to get him to kill somebody.
Yeah. She is.
Also halfway. I want to point out as well, halfway into the movie, the second time I saw it, 10 teenagers snuck in to try to get a free movie. And they asked me what the movie was. I told them Ghostbusters. They discussed amongst themselves and then they left.
Yep. Yeah. That's the other problem with this franchise. Is that like it is an aging franchise. It's hard to capture.
Yeah. It's a little bit like, you know, we were talking about that with Indiana Jones, where like they were so heavily relying on nostalgia and 90%, well, not 90, maybe 50% of people are like, who is this? What is this old man doing?
And I for my work, this is going to be weird to say, but for my work, I have to talk about Ghostbusters with a lot of people from all over the world. And I will get young people, like teenagers and stuff, who love Ghostbusters, but they are usually there with typically a dad, but a parent who loved Ghostbusters and introduced them to it.
And shared it to them.
And shared it with them. And unless you had that, you're not that. It's not like a Marvel where like there's a million ways into this. Is you know, if you don't like Iron Man, you can like the Hulk or Thor or something like that. That, you know, it's just Ghostbusters. If you weren't introduced to Ghostbusters and loved it, then you're probably not like stumbling upon this mid-80s movie about guys who bust ghosts and just are going absolutely apeshit gaga for it if you're already 13, right?
Yeah.
You got to kind of catch him early, I guess, pun intended. You kind of catch him early, and then they kind of get into it. But that audience is like kind of dwindling.
I'm actually starting to love those little fucking marshmallows, too.
Yeah, you know what? I was like, how are they going to ham-fistedly fit these things in? But they actually work.
Yeah.
I will also say all the characters from the other movie from Afterlife are back. And I will say, I was like, how are they going to get everybody to New York? And actually, I bought the reasoning for everybody. It made sense for everyone to be there.
Yeah.
They didn't try and make Lucky and Podcast like a gigantic part of this movie where they didn't need to be.
Right.
They were just in it for when they needed to be in it, which worked.
Yeah.
Also, Logan Kim's voice has dropped 8 octaves or something.
I know. He's so good, though.
He's great. That's not a knock. I was just like,
no,
whoa.
No, no. I know. I just wanted to say he's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's a lot
and
of fun.
I still love your idea of casting him as Beast Boy.
He's such a good idea for Beast Boy. I hope that happens. Camille Nanjiani is a gift.
Yes.
I put here the Garaka introduction is fucking terrifying, where she's like,
yes,
Phoebe's in the darkness.
There are some genuinely good, I mean, scary and good moments, and that is terrifying. I was like, yes. That is the movie that I had been wanting. When that moment came, I was like, finally, this is the movie I've been wanting, is something this like viscerally good. And I was like, keep going with this. This is amazing.
Oh, the joke about Ray not smoking. And I think Bill Murray says, proud of you then, proud of you now. I wrote here, that is a Chris Treble joke.
That's the biggest compliment you could possibly give me, is telling me that a Bill Murray joke sounds like me.
It feels very much like a Chris Treble joke to me.
I love you forever. You know what? We're signing off. Oh, Jesus. I got so happy. I just knocked my mic. Wow. We can end the show today. We could I mean, not just this episode, just the podcast. It's all I've been building up towards.
It's just my approval.
Oh, my gosh. It is.
It's not even for something you did. It's for something someone else did.
No, that's just as good. That is just as good. Proud of you then. Proud of you now.
Let's see. Pecker's doing a great job. I don't know why as well, but it stood out to me both times. So I wrote it down, just the way, like when the first ghost that's like a big eel, like flies past them.
Yeah.
And the camera like slams onto Phoebe's face and she goes, it's the Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon. really slowly and dramatically. And it's just like jarring and weird, as though like we're supposed to know what that is.
Exactly what that is. Like, oh, it's our old nemesis.
Yeah, it's the Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon.
We've been chasing this thing for years. And she lights a cigarette.
I love the cops when they're like, nah, they got it. We don't have to call it in. It's like a fun bit.
Yeah, there's genuinely funny stuff in this.
Let's see. Ooze, Mayor Peck, Statue of Liberty, they reference. Oh, the library ghost is back for about a second.
But stuff like that, I was like, why?
I know, I agree.
Why is it back?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess because they never caught her.
Yeah.
It'd be weird.
But see, that's my thing. I'm like, they would go back and catch that one. They know where that one is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt is good. He makes a joke that made me laugh really hard about how the upstairs of the library is not an actual library anymore, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to New York City, they do not check out books anymore at that library.
No, it's a research branch of the library.
Right.
Yes.
So it was funny when he was like, oh no, that's just for, like he said something like, it's just for failed actors to like
go
do a
Twitch
stream
and
buy
yeah.
Bitcoin.
Yes. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
There was a line he said that is ADR'd, and I am curious what his actual line was.
Oh, interesting. I did not catch that.
It was right when he was putting on the wax cylinder onto the player. He said, I can't remember what the line was, but he said a line and I went, that's ADR'd. Like whatever his punchline was, it was something because he said like, oh, he's describing the Adventurers Club and how they're a bunch of rich assholes who something, something, something. And whatever his punchline was ADR'd. And he said something else in the room. And I was like, I wonder what he said.
That's interesting. I wondered because there's one bit in that same scene where he takes a different cylinder off and he explains what it was.
Yes.
And I was like, how many fucking takes did you do where he did like 50 different things? Because the one they went with is,
oh, is it the Mary Todd Lincoln saying the F word. Yes.
So I was like, they did 20 of those at least, right? With different things. This one
is, if you've ever seen, have you ever seen that outtake from Parks and Rec where he just ad-libs the entire plot line of like,
oh, Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
And, but it's for like one Star of those Wars. Where it's like, hey, Patton, just go through every cylinder and what it, what it was.
Well, it reminded me of,
she saw a moth.
There's an outtake of TJ Miller. There's a like 6 minute rant where he's just putting out old man insults to
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah. And it reminded me of that. I'd like, that's how I feel like it went. I feel like there's going to be a deleted scene on the DVD or whatever. That's just him for like 6 minutes. Oh, this one, this one's the sound of a turtle slowly crossing the road. Yeah. You know, whatever.
I think his ADR one is, I think he made a punchline that they were like, that is going to get us an R rating. You can't say that one. So they had to,
ADR. I noticed it. Very strategic cursing in this movie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think we can move on to the reading assignment. Okay. If you like.
It's definitely a recommendation still. It's still a recommendation.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, let's move on to the reading assignment.
Great. Chris.
Yeah.
We were all teenagers once. Even me, if you can believe it. And there are some experiences that all teenagers share. Learning to drive a car, finding the courage to ask someone out on a date, roofying a bunch of children and convincing them to try to kill high-ranking authority figures as part of a strategic move to overthrow your interdimensional demon tyrant father. Acne. The Teen Titans presumably do all of these, even though we only ever see them do one of them, and every character in this looks like they're getting ready to finally receive their Social Security checks. Chris, this week's reading assignment is The New Teen Titans by George Perez.
So what did you, this is one of those ones I was like, you know what, they just announced a live action Teen Titans movie. This is supposed to be a kind of a seminal work, essentially. This is our first introduction to a lot of these characters that essentially have been the Teen Titans for the last, 40 years. What did you think of this?
It's dated for sure. It was hard to read. It's probably like 50 pages a plot in 210 pages. I skimmed a fuck ton of it.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just was talking in I'm in a movie watching club now at work. Let's not talk about it. Anyway, in that meeting,
we'll talk about it later.
I had mentioned because we talked about Dune.
Yeah.
And it came up that we need new, better, more original properties, Everything Everywhere All at Once and stuff like that. And I was like, this is based on a book that's a million years old. So and I even was like, that's one of the problems that the MCU keeps having is that they've done a lot of the good stories and the further back you go. And I was like, may the comic book gods be merciful and not strike me down. But anything older than 1997 is probably dog shit.
Yeah.
And this was made in 1980. It is definitely a product of its time. It's very verbose. It showcases a lot of the internal conflicts and the internal struggles that the characters are going through, but it'll be four pages of oh no, I took an oath to never fight again, but now somebody needs my help, but in order to help them I have to fight somebody, but I promised to be a pacifist my entire life, but I care about this person, what should I do? And someone else being like, I think you should do this thing, well I think you should do this other thing, well I'm not gonna let him do that. It's that for a lot of it.
Right.
That being said, I can definitely see the seeds of where this ended up. The fact that it is the Teen Titans are world famous now for having multiple cartoon shows and stuff like that. I can definitely see. I like the dynamic, the relationships between the characters. They picked good characters. This story run also lasted 16 years.
Yeah.
And you can see why, because the characters they chose work well together. And in fact, a large portion of this story is the newly assembled Teen Titans trying to figure out how they can best utilize their powers together in order to be greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right on kind of everything that you just said. I think it does definitely feel dated. There are certain works that I'll use this term again that are kind of considered seminal works. And you're right. Like I don't want to sound like someone who's like, oh, if it's old, it's bad. But definitely, you know, the older you get, the more dated the dialogue gets and kind of gets a little more wordy and it's a little hard to read. This definitely is that. There are times when we have done other ones, like more recently, Animal Man, I think was a really pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
And there are some works that I'm like, no, you should read this. Even if it's dated, you should read it because it is one of those works that like, is seminal, like A Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's very dated. It sounds really bad, but it's Crisis on Infinite Earths. It was the first of its kind. It still gets referenced to this day in the DCU, and it was something really important.
Yeah.
This one, I don't think that that's necessarily the case here. I think because a lot of this is origin stories, and you can kind of get their origin stories through any other telling of the Teen Titans and everything. You are seeing a team come together and learning to work together and how to do that. There are other Titan stories, and I'll dig some more up as we go along, but there are other Titan stories of the Teen Titans trying to learn to work together again that I think work better and have a better flow to them than this did. Yeah, it's not that this is not me saying necessarily that this is not a recommendation, but it's not one that I'm like, oh yeah, you should definitely run out. And you got, if this is a gap in your comics education, if you have not read this, like I had never read this until this moment. And now that I have, I'm not like, well, I'm much more richer and fuller for having read it now.
Yeah, I do not recommend this. I not like staunchly like this sucks or whatever, but like the only way I would recommend it, even then I can't really, because I was going to say like, if you like Teen Titans, like the maybe one of the animated series or, you know, something like that, and you would like to see how that came to be as sort of like just knowing the history of it, not necessarily like, oh, well, I'm curious about the origins of how these characters came together, but more about like, well, I just want to read the first thing with these characters because I really like that dynamic.
Right.
Give it a try, you know, get through it. Maybe find it in a bookstore and read the first issue first and decide if you want to buy it then. But honestly, it's nowhere near as good as like the early, I think it was early thousands cartoon show. Give that a watch. If you are interested at all in Teen Titans, watch that. It's real good.
Yeah. Like I said, this becomes seminal because this is when all these characters were introduced. Well, not Robin and Kid Flash, but like Beast Boy, Cyborg, Starfire. And when this team really kind of came together.
Yeah.
And like I said, this has essentially been the core Teen Titans team for the last 40 years. You've had some other iterations.
Also, a little racist sometimes.
Little bit.
Nothing crazy.
Little bit.
But like Cyborg, his words are sure spelled wrong a lot.
Yeah.
Because he speaks in Ebonics.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 Yep.
For sure. He says mebby instead of maybe.
Yeah, I read that a couple of times.
One of them that happens a lot is instead of spelling listen the traditional English way, it's spelled L-I-S-S-E-N. And I'm like, that's just phonetic for the way people say the word listen. That's just how that word is pronounced.
So in some ways, he's more correct in that.
Is everyone else in the DC Comics universe saying listen?
They're saying listen. They're saying listen. So you didn't know that?
No. Why would I?
Yeah, no, they all say listen. Yeah. It usually gets a little asterisk and a little box underneath, like instead of saying like translated from Russian or whatever.
And here you are saying asterisk.
Asterisk. Asterisk.
It's asterisk.
Asterisk. No, they use more than one, and that's the multiple.
You also say sixth.
Sixth.
It's sixth.
Sixth. Sixth. What?
Sixth.
I say it the way I say it, asshole. All right?
Listen, Mebby.
Mebby, you should shut your fucking mouth. How about that? Yeah, it's, again, it's not like, I'm the same way. It's not like a staunch, like, don't read this. It's absolute garbage. It's more of a, you don't need to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's
if
a little
you,
rough.
If you want to, great.
Yeah.
Good on you. But like, don't feel like you got to rush out. Like
there's
I said,
probably better Teen Titans comics out
there
now.
There are. There for sure are. Like, this is good that it's out there. If you're like, I want to see how this team really began. Sure. Great. But as far as like a dynamic story that's a real page turner or something like that, if that's what you're looking for,
yeah,
there are other Teen Titan stories. I'll have to dig around and find
some.
Yeah,
for me, this really only works as a history lesson. That, like, did I ever give you the first, very first trade paperback of Iron Man?
No, like the Silver
it's
Age
fucking
Iron Man.
Horrible.
I have read it though. I've started it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. And they're yes, they are. They're very hard to read. Or I've read like the Silver Age, like the first issue of The Flash is like, wow, it's really something. And so you can go, it's out there. You can read it if you want that. But like, is it a dynamic read? Is it something that you're going to go, well, that was a lot of fun? Nope. It's kind of like eating your broccoli.
It's a fucking slog.
You're eating your vegetables on this one. So like I said, it's yeah. Is it a huge recommendation? No. Do I feel bad about saying that about such a piece of work that help change comics and introduce new characters that have been around for 40 years. Maybe. I don't want to seem like that type of guy who's like, old things suck.
They
but
do. We only get better for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah. This one definitely feels like that for sure. What do you have for me, sir?
Well, I've been tossing a few things back and forth.
Okay.
Something happened to me yesterday. I had a stroke, you know, of genius.
Oh,
where
I see what you did there.
I was on YouTube.
Yes.
And I got suggested by YouTube to watch a Lonely Island video. Okay. And I was like, I haven't thought about those guys in ages. And I played that video and I was like, what the fuck ever happened to Andy Samberg? And I went down a little rabbit hole.
Uh-huh. And he was on a hit show for 6 seasons.
He had a stroke. No, of genius again.
Yeah.
He was. But then he wasn't doing much. Like he had done like a couple voiceover things. He was a cameo in Good Burger 2.
Right.
He was a voice in Enter the Spider-Verse, whatever the new Spider-Verse was. He was
oh,
Ben
yeah,
Reilly.
He was.
Right. That's yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like he was kind of just like dipping his toes into things here and there.
Right.
And then at the very bottom of his Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
It mentioned that in 2023,
uh-huh,
he started a, you know what? I'm going to find the Wikipedia article on it because I read it and was like, what in God's name is this? Andy Samberg, Wikipedia page, straight to the bottom, literally the very last thing before it gets into like his filmography.
Right.
In November of 2023, the first issue of Holy Roller, a comic written by Samberg and some other people, was released and published by Image Comics. It is about a pro bowler who is forced to quit his dream job and return to his hometown, which he soon discovers has been overrun by neo-Nazis, leading him to become a trick-bowling, ball-wielding Jewish superhero.
Please tell me this is the reading assignment.
So I'm going to assign for you the new Teen Titans Volume 1.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards this. I had also played around with, I've been meaning to read Nimona, which is a Netflix movie as well. They adapted it to a movie. It was up for like Oscars and shit.
Right.
And I've always wanted to read the comic. It's been on my list forever, but I'm just so intrigued by this. I think I got to give you Holy Roller.
I think you got to give me Holy Roller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right. Let's do it. Holy Roller it is. I'm okay.
By Andy Samberg.
I am into this. All right. So there it is. All right. Is there anything else?
How do you feel this episode went?
It's too soon to tell.
Yeah.
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 Ask me next episode. I'll go on a long rant about all the problems of this episode.
Great.
Yeah.
And how it isn't enough like Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway. Oh, hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Where can they find us?
They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. You can also find us on Twixer, where our handle is @MediaLunchBreak. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. Media Lunch Break, where Chris has been putting out some Pick of the Week videos. If you want to get more into comics. Yeah, he's been talking about his favorite issues that come out every week. So head over, check those out. You can also find us on TikTok, where our handle is at The Media Lunch Break. We have merch on Teespring. That is, if you want to find that, that's over on our Twixer. It's a pinned tweet right at the top. So check that out. You can also find us on Patreon. And that's patreon.com/themedialunchbreak. If you feel like providing your support, if you love the show, you have the ability to give us like $1 a month, head over there. If you just want to show some thanks financially and make us feel real good about ourselves, you can also send us an email at themedialunchbreak@gmail.com or visit our website, which is www.themedialunchbreak.com. Give us a rating and reviewing on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And special thank you to Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
For, being a founding member of the Teen Titans.
Yes. That issue alone was actually worth reading.
Yeah.
Like Andrew said, you can leave a rating and a review, and you can leave it right in app. It really does help people find us. If you leave that 5-star rating, that helps the podcast pop up for other people real quick. So be sure to do that. And as always, if you leave a 5-star rating, you can leave whatever review you want in there. This week, what should they put in this week, dear friend? I don't know.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Bustin' makes me feel good. I'll go with that. Absolutely. Just give me a good old Bustin' makes me feel good. Okay.
Yeah, just ask my popcorn bucket.
Ooh, yeah. I'm so jealous that you got one of those.
Do you want to share it with me?
No, you can have it. I'm still going to look on be on the lookout for
Eiffel Tower it?
Well, that we can do.
They might. Do you want me to check out? I went a second time. I could have asked if they had them still.
You go to AMC, right?
Yeah. It might be only an AMC one.
Maybe it was only the AMCs.
Because there was...
Okay, maybe I can...
I think it was Cinemark had like a Slimer one.
Yeah. I don't want that. Cinemark had a Slimer one. I thought it was also a Regal. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it just was at AMC. Should just stop into an AMC and just see if they have one.
You should. I mean, they're not going to turn your money down.
No, it's like $25 and it's like a really cool... It's like a toy. It's basically...
I promise you it's not $25.
Oh, really? That's what I heard
it was. It was much more than that.
Okay. But it's basically like a toy, isn't it? It's like an actual trap. Okay, anyway, where was I in this whole thing? Yeah, leave a rating and review and leave Bustin' makes me feel good. Fantastic. This has been Ghostbusters Frozen Empire and the new Teen Titans, okay? Next week is going to be the best damn day of the week, the Tuesday News Day.
Oh, the Tuesday News Day.
And then after that, we got Holy Rollers, and we have got... Actually, let me pull up my calendar, because I know we've got something. You know what we could do? You want to do Monkey Man?
Oh, I do want to do Monkey Man.
Okay, then let's do that. Let's do Monkey Man.
I'm probably going to see it for the work movie thing anyway.
Okay, great. That works then. Yeah, so let's do Monkey Man and Holy Rollers in 2 weeks.
I'm very excited for Monkey Man.
I'm actually really excited for it too. All right, that works out great. So that being said though, here's the thing. We just decided on what we're going to do in 2 weeks, but if you're listening to this and you're like, no, don't do Monkey Man. I got something better for you. Send it over to us. If you heard us say Holy Rollers is the reading assignment and you're like, don't do Holy Rollers, I have a reading assignment for you. Here it is. It's assigned to both of you. Send it over to us. If you are a creator, you made a comic, you filmed a pilot, you shot a film, short, long, whatever, it doesn't matter, and you're like, hey, can you talk about this on mic? Can you point people towards it? You want to put us to put eyes and ears on this thing? Send it over to us. We will dedicate an episode to it. No problem. We love it when we get to do stuff like that. Other than that, art is about it. There it is. There wasn't a thing there, and now there's a thing. That's how easy it is to make a thing. You know what I'm saying?
We made a thing.
There it is. So if you're listening to this, go out and make a thing. It's that simple.
Go out, make a thing.
Do it.
You know what thing I want you all to make?
What's that?
If you bought the popcorn bucket, the trap, the ghost trap popcorn bucket.
Oh, we know what you want to make with the trap.
So that's it. I just want to make with the trap.
That's it.
But if you could post a picture of that and tag us on Instagram or on Twixer, I will screenshot all of them and send them to Chris.
And make me jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll take that.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
Take it like a popcorn bucket.
I should just start calling around to all the AMC places and be like, hey, do you still have the Ghostbusters popcorn buckets? And they're like, for that movie that we're probably not even going to have in theaters next week, No.
They might have some, though. Nobody buys those.
That's
except
true.
Except for this fucking asshole.
You know
asshole.
What, though? Sarah was trying to find, because we wanted to get one for the kids.
Oh.
Because, like I said, it's basically like a toy.
Yeah, it's real expensive, though. It'd be way cheaper to just buy a toy.
There's not a good, like, toy trap, though. I mean, there's one.
I used to have one.
Yeah, I used to have one, too. But there hasn't been one that's come out kind of recently, I think. So I was like, maybe I'll just get that. That'll work. And then Sarah was like seeing on Instagram, like all these moms who actually wanted to get it for their kids and couldn't find one.
Yeah, here's one at Walmart for $20.
What? A trap?
Amazon has it on sale.
Anyway, I don't have to do this now. Let's end the podcast and then I'll go on.
So this is a costume prop. Does it open?
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
Because I had one with like a pressure, like you stepped on it.
Right. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. As a kid, yeah, I had one too.
Yeah.
They don't have, they have costume props. I want like a thing. Like a toy. And that thing is the closest thing to a toy that I've seen. It lights up and everything. This is not important whatsoever. Let's get out of here. You want to get out of here?
No.
Okay. Do you want to record this or do you want me to just sit
here?
It's
got wheels too, Chris.
I know. This is what I'm saying. It's like a real fucking toy. I want a Ghostbusters toy, Andrew.
Well, what are you going to fucking do about it, chump?
What's hard about this? I'm a grown man and I just want to get a toy. And I'm complaining that I don't have my toy yet. What's wrong with this? I don't see anything wrong with this, that I, as a 40-year-old man, am complaining that I can't get my Ghostbusters toy.
Whoa, I just found the one that we used to have.
Yeah, how much is that going for?
$365.
Yep. It's on eBay, isn't it?
It's on Mercari, which is the same thing.
I've looked for stuff like this.
Well, you haven't looked very hard. I just found it.
I meant that doesn't cost $300.
Here's one for
$700. Okay. All right. I'll just spend $700.
I found someone made the remote control car ghost trap and it's $1,500.
I would actually pay $1,500 for that. That'd be pretty baller.
All right, do it then.
All right.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I will.
You little bitch.
Yep.
I don't know why I said that.
I don't know either, but stung.
Got aggressive.
Yeah, it did. Are we almost over?
Ghostbusters. Bustin' makes me feel good.